Good afternoon, and thank you for the introduction by Dr. Silvera. Again, my name is Dr. Catherine Hillstrom, and I'm going to be talking about different venues, food venues that we went and visited and some information that we found out about them. I was looking for one of the other members of my research team that was supposed to be here, but I don't see him, so I was going to introduce him. I have no relationships to disclose. And I want to just start out by mentioning that there is a glut of information about supermarkets and whether they're related to body weight and also healthy food choices. I just picked out a few of my favorites, but some of the research has suggested that an increased access to chain grocers is associated with lower BMI among adults. There was another study that said that stores in areas that are predominantly African American of any income level and low-income white or mixed-race neighborhoods, they were less likely to have access to foods that enable residents to meet the U.S. dietary guidelines. Last year, there was another study that came out suggesting that access to many food outlets, which was defined as areas with higher concentrations of fast food retailers, convenience stores, and corner markets, was not associated with poor dietary intake or obesity rates among adults. So there's a big mixture of information that we're hearing, and I think we're not 100% sure of whether the food deserts, food swamps exist, and how much they're impacting the residents in different areas. So what we did is we were looking at a group of supermarkets and other places where people could buy food in five distinct zip codes. And I'm going to go through the five areas in a minute. And all of these places had to be registered through the LA County Environmental Health website if they're selling food. And so this study takes place in LA County. We used a survey instrument that was based on research that had been done before and developed by the Community Health Council. But we added a bunch more pages with more detailed information. And we tested it out with four researchers and then finalized it. So part of the survey included the type of store in these neighborhoods, the availability, cost, and quality of a variety of fruits, vegetables, grains, meats, dairy, oils, beverages, and snacks. And we actually collected demographic information of who was shopping in these different stores when we were in there, and also whether they accepted SNAP and WIC and other variables. The data took almost a year to collect, and I utilized the undergraduate and graduate nutrition students to conduct the audits, and we ended up with 309 retail food outlets. There were many more on the list, but some of them were duplicates, some were closed, so we ended up with 309. So what we wanted to find out, at least for this portion, is whether the cost of foods in these five neighborhoods that I'll describe in a minute, with varying income levels and racial ethnic groups, was the cost different or the same? And also, did the cost of foods vary by the store type? Because there's lots of different types of stores. So if you're not from LA, I don't want you to try to remember all the different neighborhoods, but I'll just start by saying the first three are predominantly low-income neighborhoods, Boyle Heights, South LA, and East LA. Their average income is $33,000 to $35,000. That's their household income. And their racial or ethnic makeup for Boyle Heights and East LA is almost 100% Latino. In South LA, it's about two-thirds to three-quarter Latino, and the rest is African American. The fourth neighborhood is Culver City, so we'll consider that our middle-income neighborhood. And there are two zip codes in Culver City, so average, you know, $68,000 to $75,000 for their household income, and that was about 40 to 50% white or Caucasian, Hispanic Latino about a third, and then African American for the remaining residents. And then we have what we consider our high income neighborhood, which is Manhattan Beach with $135,000 household income average. About 80% are Caucasian, 7% Latino, and then about 12% Asian. So for the purposes of this presentation, just keep in mind there's three low income, one middle, and one high income, and I'll as we go through. So again, there's a lot of information on here, but what we had to do when we went into each store was to figure out what kind of store is it based on what they're selling. So we had supermarkets, local small markets, convenience stores, liquor stores, WIC-only stores, and these are stores that accept the WIC coupons, the Women, Infant, and Children coupons, but aren't supposed to be selling other products. And I'll talk about that in a minute. And then there's DIS's discount stores. So I don't know about in your cities, but discount stores are everywhere in Los Angeles, starting at the 99-cent-only stores, and now there's 98-cent, you know, and all their competitors. And then we have other. Now, what's interesting is that the three neighborhoods that we describe or characterize as low-income have many local small markets. And some of these are places where you can buy just meat, and that's what they're kind of known for, but they also would have fruits and vegetables in them. Convenience stores, those are pretty much, as the name states, and they did have some fruits and vegetables in the convenience stores. Liquor stores, we know what those are, mostly snacks. WIC-only stores were not found in our middle and income neighborhoods. They're only in the low-income areas. And look at all the discount stores. And why this is amazing is because we'll show you some prices in a minute, but just keep in mind that discount stores were almost exclusively found in low-income areas only. Okay, so what we did is we had in our 18-page survey that took hours in some of the supermarkets, we put all the foods together that were similar. We put all our vegetables together, the fruits, dairy, grains, meat, chicken, and fish, so all our proteins, and then our soda. So we clumped them all together, and then we analyzed them by price. And when I had my students go in and collect the information, we had a list that they were supposed to find the different foods in the groups, but if they also there was a write-in section. So I asked them to look for the presence of the food, the cost of it, and then also the quality, which we're not even going to report on today. It's just a lot of information. So we'll start with vegetables. And if you'll notice along your x-axis, all the low-income areas are first. So we have Boyle Heights, South LA, and East LA. And if you'll compare it to, they're much lower in price than Culver City and Manhattan Beach, so the prices go up. So low-income residents do get a break on vegetables, okay, in our analysis. Again, for dairy, the average price of dairy by community, it was lower in the low-income neighborhoods. Interestingly, it was higher in the middle-income neighborhood, which that was a little surprising. Fruit. Was good to see that fruit would cost less in our low-income neighborhoods than it did in Culver City and Manhattan Beach. And grains, again, so if you're low-income and you're shopping in these neighborhoods, you pay less for the grains than if you're in the middle-income or high-income neighborhoods. And then our proteins, significantly less expensive in the lower-income areas. Unfortunately, there was also a break on soda. So most prices were cheaper, they were also cheaper for soda. The next thing we did then was to look at the different store types and see if the costs of all these different foods varied by store type. So on the left-hand side, we have our supermarket, and I've circled it because you'll notice that there's a trend here that the supermarkets tended to have the cheapest prices. But when we ran some analyses, and actually the WIC-only stores, the WIC package changed a couple of years ago and now includes fruits and vegetables. That there is a small amount in there for fruits and veggies, and you'll notice that the WIC stores actually charged more for the fruits and vegetables than anyone else, and especially compared to the supermarkets. Fruits, the supermarkets, again, were almost the lowest. The local markets were a little bit lower, but the WIC-only stores, again, were a little bit higher on the prices of fruit. Now, dairy was a little bit of a mixed story here. The supermarkets were lowest, and then the second lowest were discount stores. So a lot of discount stores have gotten into the practice of selling milk and other necessities, so they're not just selling trinkets and things that we would expect them to, but a lot of food is purchased there, and they had really good prices. The grain prices, the discount stores were the lowest for the grains, and the grains, we included cereals, tortillas, and breads in our grain group, and rice, and so the discount stores, from our analyses, looked like they had the best prices. and even less expensive than the supermarkets. And again, WIC came out charging the most. For the proteins, and this was an interesting finding, the supermarket was the most expensive. And so everything else, every other place you could find protein foods was cheaper other than supermarkets. Soda, again, supermarkets kind of at the average price, but the discount, and there were a couple WIC stores, and I don't think they should have been selling soda, but they were selling sodas inside the WIC-only stores, which was probably not allowed. Well, they're not really mandated anyway, but, or regulated anyway, but they did have the lowest price. So in conclusion, the overall results showed us that residents in low-income areas pay less for most foods, which is encouraging. They pay less for vegetables, fruits, grains, but their biggest discount is for meat, chicken, fish, and unfortunately, soda. Low-income residents shopping at supermarkets rather than WIC-only stores save on fruits and vegetables but spend more on sodas. Supermarkets and discount stores are the best places to buy dairy, and discount stores had the lowest prices overall on grains. So it was a little bit of a mixed result that we found. Our conclusion overall is that if you have a supermarket, no matter where you live, you'll do okay other than for the meats and the proteins. And then that's also as long as you have transportation to get there, which can be a big problem. Now, if you'll look, which another piece of data that we found really interesting is that the population of these different neighborhoods, like Boyle Heights has 95,000 people living there. With five supermarkets, that's about one supermarket for every 19,000 people. South LA, it's about one supermarket for every 30,000 people. East LA, one supermarket for every 33,000 people. Culver City, our middle income area, one for every 8,000. And Manhattan Beach, our highest income area, there's one supermarket for roughly every 6,000 residents. So a huge disparity in terms of full-scale supermarkets in these areas. What we'd like to do with the data, we have a lot of next steps since it's such a large data set. We want to map the stores using GIS and see if we find any other relationships. We also collected the quality of the food. So not only is the food there, but is it a good quality that people will purchase it? And we haven't done that yet, and we will. We're interested in seeing if there is a relationship between the BMI and these neighborhoods and the availability of the healthier foods. It'd be interesting to collect qualitative data from residents because sometimes community members, even in the presence of the availability of foods, will say, well, it's not as good as in other neighborhoods, and they'd rather shop somewhere else, even if what they have in their own neighborhood is pretty good. So we'd like to find that out. And then it would be also interesting in these neighborhoods that don't have very many supermarkets, what's taking its place? And we saw already, you know, the discount stores, corner markets, and other places. So that's mapping it all, and street vendors, of course, mapping this all out would be interesting. So I just want to acknowledge the Cal State LA Nutrition students who spent hours collecting this data. It was a big undertaking, and then we received some financial support. And I just noticed my two team members, Valerie Rellis and Dr. Bill McCarthy, joining us. So thank you. And are there any questions? Do I have time for questions?
Time for questions.
All right. Organic sometimes too. organic in yeah. in the 99 cent store often. There was, yeah, in the higher income, yeah.
And I was wondering if you would consider excluding those at some point to see if there was still, just by guessing about right. the number of those stores that are around the general, I'm not sure it would make any difference or a big difference, but would be interesting to see results.
Yeah, it's a great idea. We could do that. Unfortunately, there's not like a Ralph's or an Albertsons or a chain that is consistent across all the different neighborhoods. They actually have their own special chains in lower income areas. So, yeah, but that's a great idea. We can try. Thank you. We did collect, that's a great question, expiration dates on the milk. And so we have to look at that too. But you might be right. It may be that they get it from somewhere else, so they've got 2 days to sell it, so they're going to mark it down drastically. So we will be looking at that. That's a great question. Yeah. There weren't any in our neighborhoods, so we didn't need to include them. Yeah. There was a Kmart, and we went into the Kmart because they sell now a lot of food at Kmart. But not Sam's Club or Costco. We don't. We could figure it out pretty easily because we have the fresh and then the frozen and then the canned. And so, I mean, it seems like the fresh you could eat pretty readily, but the rest would be require some more work. But, yeah, we haven't yet looked at that level of analysis, but absolutely would be a great idea. We did, yeah. Any other questions?